Yahoo decides if you can't beat them, put them on your board.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Yahoo has been rejecting Microsoft's multi-billion dollar buyout advances for many weeks, much to the chagrin of some Yahoo stockholders, most notably shareholder activist Carl Icahn. But it looks like the two sides have reached a deal this morning. Icahn will reportedly be appointed to Yahoo's board, and he can pick a couple of fellow board members. No word yet on how this might affect a possible Microsoft deal. Better than expected earnings from Bank of America and a $43 billion buyout offer from drug maker Roche for U.S. biotech firm Genentech have the market singing this Monday morning. European indices are all up around 1%. Later this morning, U.S. markets will be coming off of their best week in a month. The price of oil's up about $2 a barrel today. There's been a lot of talk about why oil prices have gotten so high. One popular culprit is speculation. The Senate's expected to vote on a bill to limit that kind of speculation this week. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton has more.
Supporters of the bill blame energy market speculators for as much as 30% of the recent run-up in oil prices. They hope to bring those prices down by broadening federal authority over futures markets and providing much-needed funds to regulators. But Wall Street lobbyists say the bill's blanket approach to curbing speculation would unfairly punish those who don't abuse the system. Greg Zerzan is with the International Swaps and Derivatives Association.
Investors, like retirees, would be prevented from getting access to the one asset class, commodities, that's been holding up relatively well in the recent market.
Zerzan says even a farmer trying to hedge the cost of fertilizer through natural gas futures would be considered a speculator under the deal. Consumers could also feel the pinch. Zerzan says just about every industry, from airlines to manufacturing, use futures contracts to hedge their energy costs as a form of insurance. Take that away, he says, and the price of that cross-country plane ticket could go even higher. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Another aspect of fuel has China concerned: air pollution. Beijing starts drastic smog control measures and started them over the weekend. It's part of a last-minute push to clear the air for the Summer Olympics. Lisa Chow reports.
It's a two-month plan in which drivers take turns using their cars. Only odd-number license plates were allowed on the streets today. Officials estimate this rule will take more than half of Beijing's 3.3 million cars off city streets. Timothy Hui works for the Natural Resources Defense Council. He says it's too hard to know whether this experiment will clear skies.
You know, if people wish to feel with their eyes and nose about the improvement of the air quality, we would have to cross our fingers for better natural environmental conditions.
Today's sky was a faint blue, and the sun came down through the haze. In Beijing, I'm Lisa Chow for Marketplace.
Holy ticket sales, Batman. The Dark Knight smashed domestic box office records and took in more than $155 million its opening weekend.
I'm Batman.
And toy company Hasbro reported robust quarterly earnings, thanks in part to sales of Indiana Jones-related toys.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with Teach for America to bring math and science teachers to under-resourced public schools. More information at teachforamerica.org. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Federal Election Commission numbers are out, and Barack Obama raised $72 million in the month of June. John McCain took in $27 million. These days, fundraising has become as much a part of lawmakers' job as public policy. A generation ago, it took years to rise to power on Capitol Hill, but these days, there's a new path to power. Marketplace's Steve Henn has the story in part one of our special report, PacMen.
If you're young, ambitious, and a member of Congress, a Leadership Political Action Committee is this season's must-have fundraising accessory. Lawmakers first formed these loosely regulated accounts 30 years ago as a way of raising cash from lobbyists and other special interests. The money is then passed around to lawmakers facing tough election fights. Understanding these PACs is crucial to understanding how Washington works.
They are an arm for the member of Congress
to use in gaining power.
Fred Wertheimer is the founder of Democracy 21, a campaign finance reform group.
They are a very important vehicle for lobbyists to curry favor with the members.
Wertheimer says when companies and lobbyists give to a leadership PAC, they're making an investment in a politician's future. So how does this work? Take Congressman Eric Cantor, a Republican from Richmond, Virginia.
He's serious. He's helpful. He's not just out for himself. He can raise a ton of money.
Fred Barnes from the Weekly Standard is excited about Cantor's prospects. Cantor became a leader in Congress, chief deputy whip, just a few years after he was first elected. He consolidated his power with the help of private equity investors, hedge fund managers, and other big donors to his PAC. Barnes says Congressman Cantor led the fight to keep their taxes low.
That's probably not a nationally popular issue, but right now it's not a problem.
And that probably doesn't hurt his fundraising either.
Well, it certainly hadn't hurt his fundraising, certainly people in hedge funds.
Turns out Eric Cantor is a fundraising machine. He used his leadership PAC to throw parties for investors and lobbyists at resorts in Beverly Hills, fine restaurants in New Orleans, and ski resorts in Aspen. He says it's all for a good cause.
Wherever we go, obviously we're trying to raise the most money so we can help our cause and we can, you know, return the Republicans back to majority.
And he's been generous with the money his PAC brings in. According to Federal Election Commission filings, in the last election, he wrote more than 200 checks to colleagues totaling $1.3 million.
We want to deliver on the promise to make sure we're helping Republicans.
And Fred Barnes says his Republican colleagues in Congress would jump at the chance to return the favor one day.
Of Republicans in the House, I would say Eric Cantor has by far the best prospects of being the next Republican speaker of anyone. In fact, there's nobody close.
In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Tune in tomorrow for part two of our special report and check out our website for more details. Go to marketplace.org and click on Pac-Man. And if you have a comment for us, send us an email at letters@marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.